Okay, good evening everyone. I hope you're all warmed up and ready to go. If you'd like to keep the Bibles open, Hebrews 11, that'd be great. And I'll just pray as we start. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for preserving it for us. We thank you for the examples in it of these heroes of faith, these Old Testament guys, to help us and encourage us. Please would you be with us this evening by your Spirit, Lord. Help us to understand and apply what we read. May we go away changed this evening. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever been tempted to give up on being a Christian? To throw in the towel? To give it all up and go back to your old life? Well, that was the temptation facing the very first readers of this letter to the Hebrews. They had made a good start following Jesus, but now they were facing increased persecution, and so were tempted to give it all up and go back to their old life of Judaism, the easier road. Therefore, the writer of the Hebrews wrote this letter to encourage them. Don't give up. Keep going. Persevere to the end, he says in chapter 10. And then he gives them the secret of how to keep going. And that secret is faith. And then in chapter 11, he lists loads of Old Testament characters who lived by faith, who kept going to the end. Loads of practical examples of faith in action to encourage them to do the same. And tonight we're looking at another one of these heroes of faith, one of the big guys of the Old Testament, Father Abraham. And I have two headings for you this evening. Have confidence in God's promises and know that your home is in heaven. Okay? Have confidence in God's promises, like Abraham did, and know that your home is in heaven, like Abraham did. So firstly, have confidence in God's promises. Abraham is held up in this chapter as one of the heroes of faith. And the writer shows us three events from his life to demonstrate his faith in action. But before we look at those, we need to remind ourselves what faith is. And faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This verse sets up the rest of the chapter, so let's look at it again. It should be burned into our memories by now. We've looked at it so much these last few weeks. So Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So there seem to be two aspects of faith here. There is the future, unseen hope, and then there is the confidence with which we look forward to it. So, what is it that we hope for? What is it that we do not see? Well, it is the fulfillment of God's promises, especially, as we will discover, the promise of heaven. And why should we be sure and certain of these things? Well, the answer is because of God's faithfulness. He has made the promises, and he does what he says he will do. It's not wishful thinking, faith. No, it is trusting God for the future. It is taking him at his word. And can you see how this faith would keep you going during difficult times? You know, sure and certain confidence in the wonderful promises of God to keep you going. And I hope to show you tonight that Abraham has this kind of faith, and that he showed his faith by his actions. Okay, so let's get down to business. The first story from Abraham's life involves the promise of land. We first come across Abraham in Genesis 11, about 4,000 years ago, living with his family in the city of Ur, which is a great name for a city. Now, Ur is located in modern-day Iraq, near the mouths of the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. We've got a map for you. There we go. There it is. Okay, and it was one of the biggest cities in the ancient world. It's huge. It was kind of like the New York or the Paris or the London of its day. It's where the money was. It's where things were happening, okay? But it was also a place of idolatry, the worship of false gods. This might have been the view from Abraham's kitchen window. There we go. The great ziggurat of Ur. This is a temple dedicated to the Sumerian moon god Nannar, which is another great name. But it wasn't just the people of Ur who were involved in worshipping false gods. It seems that Abraham's family were involved in this too. Listen to what Joshua says in Joshua 24, verse 2. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. So this is where we find Abraham at the beginning of our story. This is the situation he is in. But as we know, God called Abraham out of that life and told him to go to a different land. God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12, saying, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." And God then makes a number of promises to Abraham as well. One of the promises that he made is that he will make Abraham into a great nation, a great country. Now, there are two things that make up a nation. First of all, you need loads of people. And secondly, you need somewhere for them all to live, a land. And God promises both to Abraham. He promises a land, the land of Canaan, which becomes known as the Promised Land, not surprisingly. And he promises him descendants as well. You know, children and grandchildren. As many as the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. So God calls Abraham to leave his home, to go to the land he will show him. How does Abraham respond to this? Well, he responds in faith and obedience. Look at Hebrews 11, verses 8 and 9. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the Promised Land, like a stranger in a foreign country. So by faith, Abraham obeyed and went. Can you see his faith in action? The kind of faith described in Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, he had confidence in God's promises. He was sure and certain of them, even though he did not see them yet. And the faith that he had led to action. And he set out in obedience and made his home in the Promised Land. Now, what would motivate him to obey God like this? You know, to leave his home, to leave his friends and his family behind, to travel hundreds of miles, to live in an unknown place, to live like a stranger in a foreign land. What would motivate him to do this? Well, verse 10 gives us one of his motivations, and it is a surprising one, I think. Verse 10, "For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." It seems here that he was motivated by the hope of heaven. Yes, he had the promises in mind, but he was also looking beyond their immediate fulfillment in the Promised Land to their ultimate fulfillment in heaven. And that's remarkable, don't you think, that Abraham understood something of these things all those years ago, even back then, understood something of heaven. Now, I won't say more on this because we'll come back to it later. Okay, so the first story of Abraham's life was about the promise of land. Now, the second story involves the promise of descendants, and this is in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12. We now find Abraham living in the Promised Land with his wife Sarah and the rest of their entourage, and God visits him again to remind him of the promise he made to make Abraham the father of many nations. And God promises now to give Abraham a son from his own body. Let's read what happened in verse 11. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. So by faith, Abraham and Sarah were enabled to have a child against all the odds. Now, humanly speaking, this was absolutely impossible. You know, both of them were getting on a bit, long past their sell-by dates, as my grandmother said. And we are told that Abraham himself was as good as dead, and Sarah was barren as well, unable to have children. So impossible, humanly speaking. So, you know, you might have thought they would have given up. They could have given up on the whole thing, couldn't they? And stopped bothering to try to have children. But they didn't give up. They kept trying in obedience and faith. And why did they keep trying? They kept trying in verse 11b because they considered him faithful who had made the promise. Here is the faith of Hebrews 11 verse 1 in action again. You know, why should we be certain and sure of the things that we do not see? The answer is because God, who made the promises, is faithful. Okay? So, what was the result? The result of God's faithfulness and their faithful obedience was that Isaac was born, and through him, a nation was created. And more than that, we know that this promise, too, has a greater fulfillment. We know that Abraham is the father of all who have faith, of all who share the same faith as him. And this includes Christians too, the multitudes in heaven. Okay, now we come to the third, and probably the most famous story in Abraham's life, the test. So God had proved to be faithful in the promise of his son. Isaac had been born, and he's now a boy. And God comes to Abraham again and says, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Wow, that is a pretty big ask. I think that our familiarity with this story dulls the impact of this request for us. Well, how did Abraham respond to this one? Let's find out in verses 17 and 18. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." So by faith, Abraham was willing to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had promised that the many descendants would come through Isaac. And here we see again the faith of Hebrews 11 verse 1 in action. We see just how sure and certain Abraham is that God will keep his promises. Look at his reasoning in verse 19. You know, this is the logic that's going through his mind. Okay, God has made me a promise that many descendants will come from Isaac. And God is completely faithful as well. He will never break his promise. Therefore, if God wants me to sacrifice Isaac, then he must be able to raise the dead, because that is the only way that God's promise will be fulfilled. That's the reason going through his mind. It shows incredible insight that Abraham had. It's easy for us looking back on this to come to that sort of conclusion, isn't it? You know, we know that God is able to raise the dead, as we've just been reminded of at this Easter. But for Abraham to have reasoned this way, it just goes to show how much faith he had in God. But in the end, as we know, it was not necessary for Isaac to die. Because Abraham was willing, he passed the test. And just as he was about to do the deed, the angel of the Lord appeared and stopped him. And he provided a ram for him to sacrifice instead. So, to summarise so far, faith is having confidence that God will keep his promises. And God made various promises to Abraham, and Abraham believed them and acted on them. His faith led to obedience. Now, what promises has God made to us, you might ask? You know, he doesn't appear to us like he did to Abraham and give us specific promises about our lives. But Jesus has promised us something. He has promised us that all who repent of their sins and believe in him will have eternal life. And that makes us part of these promises made to Abraham. And all of the promises made to Abraham are pointing towards heaven. And that is what we will look at next. Okay, so now we come to the final section tonight in Hebrews 11, verses 13 to 16. And the title I've given to this part is, Know That Your Home Is in Heaven. In this section, that the writer takes a break from listing all these heroes of faith, and he steps back and he looks at the big picture of what motivated them. What kept them going? What kept them going even to the end of their lives? And it was the knowledge that their home is in heaven. And even though the writer talks about they in this section, I think Abraham is still in the front of his mind. We learn two things here. First of all, our home is not in this world. Let's read verse 13b and 14. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. So, they were strangers and aliens on the earth. They knew that this world was not really their home. No, they were looking forward to heaven. And in the same way, those of us who are Christians here tonight, we are also aliens and strangers in the world. You know, we no longer belong here, do we? We have been called out of our old life of sin, and as Paul says, our citizenship is now in heaven, even though we still live here for a short while. And this kind of produces an uncomfortable tension in our lives. And those of us who have ever lived in a foreign country will know what this feels like. You know, the unfamiliarity, the sense of not quite fitting in, the sense of being different somehow. In a similar way, we know that we don't belong to this world. You know, we have different values. We have different goals and aspirations. We have different priorities and morals to the rest of the world. We don't quite fit in. And you know, we've often been in situations where we sometimes feel uncomfortable with our non-Christian friends or family or work colleagues when what they want to do is not really what we want to do. So if you feel a bit uncomfortable in the world, you know, that's okay. We will never feel truly at home until we get to heaven. And in fact, we should be wary of feeling too much at home in this world. If we do find ourselves feeling too much at home here, it might be a warning to us that we have not actually got our eyes on heaven as we should have. So, secondly, our home is a better country. Verses 15 and 16. Verses 15 and 16. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Now, at any point in his life, Abraham could have packed up his tent, loaded up the camels, and gone back to Ur. But he didn't. You know, he didn't spend his time looking back fondly at his old life and wishing he could return. Instead, he was looking forward, longing for a better country, for heaven. And the same should be true of us. Let's not look back to our old lives. You know, heaven is so much better. You know, we often spend time thinking, don't we, of the things we give up when we become Christians, the things we had to give up. And we easily forget that there is a better country ahead. You know, heaven will be so much better than all that this world can offer, but instead we spend time thinking of the things we give up. So, if we are tempted to go back to our old way of life, our old sins, you know, if they start to creep back into our lives and sneak in, we should throw them off. We should put them aside. We should leave them behind. Let's focus on the better country and live with that in mind. Also, are we longing for this better country? You know, how much do we think about heaven day by day? You know, maybe if we're a bit jaded and struggling in our faith, perhaps we should be reminding ourselves of God's promises more. Perhaps we've just forgotten how wonderful the future will be. So, to conclude then, Have confidence in God's promises and know that your home is in heaven. Now, I couldn't finish this off without taking a peek into chapter 12 and looking at Jesus. After all, Jesus is the perfect example of faith, isn't he? The perfect example of faith. The ultimate hero of faith. He was obedient to death, even death on the cross. What motivated him, we might ask? And Hebrews chapter 12 tells us it was the joy that was set before him. You know, the joy of heaven. The joy of people in a restored relationship with God. You know, Jesus is the ultimate example of perseverance in the face of difficulty. And he's also the source of our faith as well. Because our faith relies on what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Paying the penalty for our sins. So let me finish tonight by reading Hebrews chapter 12 verses 1 to 3 to you. And imagine that you are one of these first readers of this letter to the Hebrews, facing persecution, tempted to give it all up and go back to your old life. Let me read it to you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all these heroes of faith, let us also throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, please would you help us to keep going in the faith. Please would you give us a great confidence in your promises and in your word. Help us always to remember how faithful you are and how faithful you have been in the past. May you fill us with a longing for heaven. Help us to think of it more than we do. And help us to live our lives more in the light of it as well. In Jesus' name, amen.